Right. I have two quick ones under the SEPA banner. We have been working diligently towards repairing the underwater cable that supplies power as a part of the intertie over to Mitkoff Island. And as some folks may know, we had one of the underwater cables had a intrusion went in and tripped the alarm to say that it's been flooded with salt water. And there's some mechanisms there to help it sort of ward off it being completely inundated, but it shuts the cable down. So we had a spare, and we need three cables to bring power over to Petersburg from the intertide. And so the team got the spare in place right away, and we've got power up to Petersburg. But of course, now there is no more spares. And that particular stretch through that channel is really heavily influenced by the river and the actions there. And if some folks may remember, we had a GCI outage years ago where we had an underwater earthquake, and it took down our internet and cable TV for quite a while. And who knows why this happened, but it was a part of the cable crossing where we weren't able to take a look at it. I know that Clay Hammer and his team actually surveyed all of the underwater cables everywhere, but there were some places that they couldn't get the ROV into. And I believe that was one of the areas that they had trouble having a look at. So we've been working, administration has been working to purchase the new cable and get bids and to get it into place. And I think we're getting very close to start moving forward with that and to accept the bid process. It's been a huge project that the SEPA administration has been doing. And so that should be moving along, and they'll be able to get it in place here fairly soon. But we're talking, you know, well north of $10 million for this project. We do have some insurance. I think it's what, Lisa, do you remember, 12 or 13 is roughly where we came out on it. But we have some insurance, $5 million of insurance that we were able to purchase on the cable. But of course, they have to raise the cable to see if the insurance company is going to pay for it. So there's all kinds of hoops we have to jump through, like insurance companies usually do before we know. So that's going to be a heavy outlay. We do have some money in our self-insured fund and in some other funds that we've squirreled away. The communities have squirreled away over the years to be prepared for such an emergency. So that's coming down the pipe, and we're hoping to be able to start working on that in the summertime during the season and get it done. So it's a huge operation, but I just can't say enough about SEPA's administrative team. Trey Acton has just done an amazing job getting this project off the ground and getting things up and running. So my hat really goes off to them, and hopefully it'll get done quickly and on budget. Julie, do you have a report or a question on that particular item? There you go.
I had something else to report. I just wasn't quick enough earlier.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead right now. It would be great.
Thank you. I just wanted to let the community know that the federal CARES Act funds that were fisheries related, specifically $300 million nationwide and $50 million to Alaska, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has come up with a spend plan, a draft spend plan that's out for public review and comment through October 19th. And so folks can, I believe if you just Google Alaska Department of Fish and Game and spend plan for CARES Act relief, you'll see it, but I can also forward the information to the borough clerk. And if folks have any comments about any adjustments to the spend plan, they should try to submit them by October 19th. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. One other SEPA note: in our last board meeting, we had very serious discussions about a rate, wholesale rate increase to the power cost. We have not had an increase since SEPA came online. And there's not much in this world that hasn't increased in prices over the last 15 years plus. And so we have to start looking at a rate increase to be able to rebuild reserves and also in anticipation of aging infrastructure. So that will be coming along and we'll keep the community informed on that. They have pushed off this rate increase. It was initially proposed last January and the representatives asked them to push it off just given the various projects that communities had and issues with budgets and so on. But I think we're at a point where we're going to have to do something in order to take care of just what the infrastructure is that we have. So it will be something coming down the pipe here, quite possibly in the fall, and the communities will have to look at how that's going to be either absorbed or passed along to ratepayers. And then the last thing that I have is just something that Kim said earlier, but I want to say it again to the whole community. Putting your name on the ballot and putting yourself out there is a risky thing. And it's really easy, I think, sometimes for folks to sit back and complain and, you know, even to write a letter the odd time. But to put your name on the ballot and attempt to make a difference, it really takes commitment. And to folks that didn't win this this round, that's hard, and I'm sorry, and it never feels good, but please stay involved, and please stay involved in committees and your community, and I know the folks that had their names on there will stay involved. To the folks that were elected, congratulations, and we really do appreciate everyone that commits so much time to our community and to help make community a better place. And I appreciate it. If you want to be involved, there's committees and other things that you can jump on board with. So if you didn't get elected to the position you were hoping for, please take a look, and we'll be going through some of these committees here in a bit, but take a look and see how you can stay involved. So thanks to everyone. Anyone else, any other reports or comments? I'm not seeing anything. We'll move on to item number 10. Mayor and Assembly appointments. 10A is our annual Vice Mayor appointment. Is there anyone like to nominate somebody on the Assembly for the Vice Mayor position?
Hi there. I would like move to appoint Assemblymember Gilbert for Vice Mayor until October 2021. All right. I really like the way she ran a meeting.
Okay, thank you, Assemblymember Howe. We will, I would move along with that, and we will appoint Assemblymember Gilbert. If anyone else would like, sorry, is there anybody else that would like to sit as Vice Mayor?
Well, we need a second on that.
Oh, does it have to go to a vote?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Morrison, sorry, I'll second it. Morrison.
Seconded. Any discussion?
Did a good
hearing
job.
None. Oh, sorry, Anne?
Yes.
You have your hand up?
I did.
No, not anymore. Okay. Doubt's down.
Doubt's up.
Anyone else? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka?
Yes. Annual board and committee appointments. I'm going to recommend the following individuals. And if anybody would like to dissent, you can just put up your hand and speak your dissent. But I'll go through these line by line. I don't believe these need to be voted on. Correct, Kim? Straight appointments. Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission. One position is available. We have one name for that position, and that's Don McConaughey Sr. And I'll move to appoint Don McConaughey to that position. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, there's two positions available. We have one name, Cindy Martin. I'll move to appoint Cindy to that position. Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau, two positions available. We have Chris Buness and Corey Delabrue, and I'll move to appoint both of those individuals to those two positions. Economic Development Committee, two positions available. We have one name, Joan Sargent, and I'll move to appoint Joan to that position. And the Investment Committee, we have one available position in Jim DeBoer has put in his name for that, and I'll move to appoint him to that position. Is there anyone like to dissent on any of those appointments? Okay, not hearing anything or seeing anything. We'll move forward. So if there's no objections, Kim, would you please advertise that one remaining position?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Parks and Recreation Committee. Sorry, let me just get back up to my agenda. Okay. For the Parks and Rec, I apologize, I'm just moved off my position here. So we have the unexpired term seats available on Parks and Recreation are the October 2021 and October 2022 positions. And I believe we have no letters of interest for those seats. Is that correct, Kim?
That's correct.
Would you please repost those and advertise close to those positions?
I see Assembly Member Howe's hand up. Is he offering?
Assembly Member Howe, go ahead.
I have a question. So is it like is it a statute that the Parks and Rec has to have a board? I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just curious. Is it an ordinance?
I'll let the city manager take that one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's not a statutory requirement. It is a code requirement.
Okay.
Are you volunteering for that?
No.
Position at all?
I got three kids at home. This was enough.
Okay, sounds good.
I do want to know, though, how many members are there? How many seats, I should say?
Five.
There's five seats.
So currently, they don't have enough to make a quorum.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
Okay.
Well, hopefully someone expresses interest.
Yeah, we'll re-advertise it. Thank you, Assemblymember Howe. Okay. There's no public hearing tonight. Item 11, no unfinished business. Item 12. Item 13, new business. A, approval of the application to the ADEC State Revolving Loan Fund for the Water Treatment Plant Improvement Project Interim Financing Plan. Somebody like to read the motion?
Application to the ADEC State Revolving Loan Fund for the Water Treatment Plan Improvements Project Interim Financing Plan. Gilbert.
Move. Do you have a second?
I'll second that, Ann.
And seconded. Thank you. Discussion. Lisa, would you give us an update on that, please?
Sure. Mr. Mayor, although we're getting ready to have a work session regarding this project, one of the requirements that the USD Rural Development has is that we are required to do interim financing of the loan funds that they have. So essentially, we have to go out and get the money. We have to borrow the money for the equivalent of the loan. And once we've borrowed the money and used it to pay for our project, USDA will pay the lender back, and then we will have a USDA loan. It's a very weird setup. I'm not going to get into the statutory requirement or Code of Federal Regulations or the politics of that. But Joyce went out to the private sector and explored alternatives with our lending institutions here locally and some regionally. And actually what has presented itself is the State Revolving Loan Fund from ADEC has indicated that they would be willing to loan money instead. And it is it's a much better deal. And so we are recommending that when we move forward with this project, that we go with the State Revolving Loan Fund instead of the commercial loan that's available to us. And both of those are outlined in the agenda statement.
My understanding is that the interest that we would pay on that loan to secure was not a part of the package. Is that correct?
No, it is. Okay. The interest that we pay on that is part of is an eligible project expense, but okay, we still have to pay it. Interest gets tacked on to what we have to pay for as part of the USDA loan. So we're paying for that interest no matter what. So the lowest amount of interest we can pay is the maximum benefit to us.
For sure. Any questions for the city manager on that? Okay, I'm not seeing anything. Kim, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 13B, resolution number 10-20-1547 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, extending the temporary amendment of the Wrangell Municipal Code section 3.05.050, teleconferencing related to the assembly meetings and providing guidance for all non-essential borough commissions, boards, and committee meetings.
Move to approve resolution number 10-20-1547.
Move. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's seconded by Assembly Member Morrison. Thank you. Kim or Lisa, just to give an update for the community. I don't know who's spearheading that.
Madam Clerk, do you want to give an update on this one?
Sure. So several months back, there was a resolution back in March, I believe that was, yes, in March was a resolution was passed to suspend in-person meetings for the Borough Assembly until October 17th, 2020. And this is coming before you. We had a discussion item on the last agenda to kind of see where the Assembly wanted to go with this. And based on that discussion, we're bringing this resolution back to see about, extending the time for Zoom meetings, teleconferencing until the end of the year to allow for us to order equipment and set up the Nolan Center to possibly have in-person meetings there after the first of the year. We believe that having the meetings there at the Nolan Center would allow for social distancing for the assembly, each assembly member and staff, Lisa and myself, could have our own tables and we'd be 6 feet apart. We'd have our own microphones. There would be a camera attached to a laptop and we could do the Zoom on there for people who did not want to attend. In person, we could set up for minimal audience. There's just no way to do it safely here in the assembly chambers right now. We've talked to our capital facilities staff, and in order to do that, we would have to extend the dais, and that would maybe allow for two or three people in the public. It's not feasible. Our chambers are not big enough. So that's why this is coming before you, to see about extending the time period to the end of the year to suspend in-person assembly meetings.
Thank you, Kim. Does anyone have any thoughts or questions on that? Yeah, Assemblymember Corson.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I articulate this properly. In the past, over the years, I know that when we had the persons to be heard, we've had some colorful people step up to the podium up there in City Hall, but it always seems so unrestricted. I'm finding it's somewhat distasteful. Maybe that's a little too strong of a word, but I would really like to see somehow the citizenry can approach the council with concerns as easily as they used to do. I know we have this pandemic issue coming up. Do we still accept letters to be heard or anything like that from the citizenry? Or
you bet. So people can send in letters, and then those letters are put into the record. And the clerk sends a letter to each assembly member. So you receive a copy of it prior to the meeting, and then the letters are held in the packet. So they go into the packet and are put in the minutes, and so they're there forever. And people can come, and they're given 3 minutes to speak to the assembly on topics, any topic that they want. So you can come for something that's on the agenda or something that is not on the agenda that you just want to speak your mind, and folks are welcome to do that. Of course, there is some controls. They're not allowed to be rude or swear, right, or, you know, but there's those general controls.
Having witnessed that in the past, I understand that. And it obviously has been difficult to get rid of people when they're just being nasty. The letters to be heard, are they're not read into the record, though, like an open forum like we are right now, though, are they? Or are they?
No. No, it's been a little bit hit and miss over the years, but we like people, if you want your letter read into the record, pop online and read it. And if you can't do it, find someone to read it into the record for you. There's lots of ways to get it into the record, and it is a part of the official record regardless, and it is sent out to every assembly member.
Okay. I guess this question is to Kim a little bit. You're saying you want to extend this. Do we have a goal date that you're looking at that we would have definitively have this system put in place at the Nolan Center, or is this tentative?
Mr. Mayor, can I answer that?
Yes, please go ahead.
I'm sorry.
So with the resolution, it would be December 31st, 2020. However, the first meeting in January would be January 12th, but we just said December 31st in case there was a special meeting or a work session or something that came up. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes, please go ahead.
If for some reason conditions should change with regard to COVID here locally, or if for some reason we're not able to get the technology installed, we would come back to the assembly and ask for another extension. And then it would be up to the assembly whether or not we wanted to do that. But right now the goal is to have everything in place by the first meeting in January.
Thank you. Assemblymember Morrison.
Yes, I think this is a question for Kim, Mr. Mayor. The equipment that you're buying, I'm assuming that this will be something that will be used after we get back to normal meetings again, whenever that is, if there is such a thing that happens. The microphones and the cameras and everything.
So the microphones, she is ordering a couple of extra ones. And so if we're able to use those, then we will. I'm not sure if we will need to use the microphones because we already have microphones in our assembly chambers. The camera, yes. So the camera will attach to a laptop and we can use it that way. I also, in the agenda statement, I talked about an Owl Pro that I looked into getting, and it is a system that I'm going to actually use also at the Nolan Center and then bring back here when we're back to in-person meetings. And this Owl, it's a nifty little device. I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but anyways, it has a 360 degree camera. And so you set it up, and when somebody speaks, it'll turn toward that person and zoom in on that person. And it also connects to the laptop. And so I would only connect to Zoom using the laptop. And so the assembly members and myself and Lisa sitting at our chairs, we wouldn't have to connect to Zoom because it's my hope that we just continue to keep using Zoom even when we're back to in-person, because obviously we have more participation and we want that. So
sure. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Assemblymember Howe.
I'm glad Ann brought that up. I was, and Kim, you touched on it too. Like you know, teaching overall, this has been trying and, you know, difficult experience, but we've some practices that we've taken on, I think we should continue. And it, with our meetings, I think it's a positive thing if we can, you know, continue to offer Zoom for people. I mean, I, for one, will be really excited to get back to being in the same room with people I'm discussing things with. It just feels like it's more democratic and, you know, more in the spirit of what we should be doing. But that doesn't mean we can't continue to use Zoom to reach out to people that aren't able to come in. It's one of our friends' kids said it was really cool to see me on TV, which that's, you know, maybe the only time I am on TV. So, yeah, good thing. But I'm excited to see that there's a tentative end date and that we can get back to in person. So thank you, guys.
My largest concern was the expenditure of the cash, but I understand this is going to come from COVID funding. And the reason I bring that up is that recently for a going away party, we were asked to purchase $35 worth of hot dogs and we said no. And the city manager used her own funds to buy $35 worth of hot dogs. So every expenditure that we make, I'm using the hot dog matrix to make sure that it's a wise expenditure. I mean, if we can't afford $35 in hot dogs, we can't afford much. So if this is going to come from COVID funds, then I'm comfortable with that. If it was coming from our general budget, I would be not pleased. So, and I understand we can put it in the room and it's all done and everything, but I really think that we need to be cautious how we're spending. And even with the COVID funds, we need to be cautious, obviously. But the second thing for me is that if the risk, I would like to understand the mitigation plan to be sent to all assembly members so that they understand fully the risks that they're taking by attending in-person meetings. And further, it would be nice if we had some lines in the sand with that. I appreciate the technology is the one side of it. The second side of it is, how do we decide when we're not going to meet in person? And what does that look like? Is it if we have five cases in the town? Is it if it's, you know, there's no ICU beds, when do we stop meeting in person? So that'd be good to have the EOC maybe look at that and lay that out for us so that we have clear guidance and we're not trying to make it up as we go. I'd just like to know that in advance. Any other thoughts on that? All right, I'm not seeing anything. Kim Pofo, please.
Sure. Assembly members, Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Corson?
No.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison? Oh, you're on mute, Ian.
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
No. Item B13C, approval of audit engagement letter with BDO USA in the amount of $53,500 for the fiscal year 2020 audit.
Move to approve the audit engagement letter with BDO USA in the amount of $53,500 for the FY 2020 audit.
You moved. We have a second.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Ann.
Discussion. Mr. Mayor,
and, yes.
I just wanted to your point earlier that you made about travel, I looked back and the cost of the audit over the last few years has been between about $63,000 and almost $69,000. So this is at a lower level and we will make sure that travel is not included in that.
Yeah, I just would like to see that represented somehow because that's a substantial cost. I mean, how many auditors do they send down for the city each year? There's at least three or four, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, so, and they're normally here a week.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's there's the per diems, the, you know, the all of that adds up and it should be pulled out because they can do it remotely. Do we want to have Joyce bring us up to speed on that? Joyce, are you on the line? Our finance director?
I'm here.
Hi, Joyce.
Hello. So technically, we have, for some of you that are new, we have to have an audit each year by state statute in Title 49 to basically be able to get our state funding. BDO has done it for a number of years. I don't even know how many years. normally we would do it a little bit earlier, but it's just been kind of a hectic year. The plan is to continue to do field work this week and then do field work in November and get the financial statements by December. BDO has a complex portal that I download all of the documents to them. Everything will be electronic. I have to, and I've been collecting documents all year. It's just a matter of going over their checklist and giving it to them.
Okay. City Manager Von Bargen, do you have any follow-up on that? No.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Any questions from the assembly? The only question that I have is, I thought we had, and Lisa, maybe I'm misremembering this, but I thought we had talked about going out to an RFP for this year's, or was it, I'm trying to remember how that discussion went.
No, Mr. Mayor, we did, but things ended up so late with the audit this year that we had to go with them. We will go out early in the calendar year, this coming year, for audit, an RFP for audit services. And Joyce has actually already drafted the RFP. It's ready to go.
Great, thanks. I just wasn't sure if I was remembering correctly.
No, you're absolutely correct.
Anyone else with any questions for Joyce or the city manager on that? Not seeing any. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 13D, emergency ordinance number 980 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, extending the borough's declaration of emergency related to the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic and granting authorization to take actions necessary to protect the public health during the emergency through December 31st, 2020.
Mr. Mayor, I yes. move for adoption of ordinance number 976.
Thank you, Ann. And do we have a second?
Mr. Mayor, it should be ordinance 980.
Yeah, second.
Sorry, 980.
980.
Thank you.
Where did I put 976? Okay, 980.
Thanks, Ann. Okay. That is seconded by Assemblymember Gilbert. City Manager Von Bargen, will you walk us through this, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Assembly originally passed emergency ordinance number 976 in March to declare an emergency related to the COVID pandemic. That emergency ordinance is scheduled to sunset on October 17th, similar to the resolution that we just discussed. And in order to make sure that we have things in place for whatever federal and state resources there may be related to the pandemic, we feel like we need to keep our emergency ordinance in place. We're asking for an extension through December 31st right now, and if something should change, we'll come back to the assembly. But this changes nothing essentially, except making sure that declaration is still there, because we may need it for something.
Okay, Assemblymember Howe.
Lisa answered my question and follow up. I was wondering the purpose, but Lisa expressed it.
Okay, thank you. Assemblymember Corson.
Yes, sir. Just for clarification, does this tie into funding that we would receive? Is it like definitive? Oh, we get money for the COVID, the city does, correct? If this was voted down, would that in any way interfere with that, those funds that come in?
I don't know. It might interfere with resources available from FEMA. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Not seeing anything. Poll vote, please, Kim.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Howe?
Yeah.
Decker?
Yeah.
Corson?
Sorry, yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. I'm just gonna, just as a point for Zoom meetings, it's a good idea when we go to vote, just turn your mute off during the vote, and then because you it changes, the order changes, so you never know when the little whack-a-mole is going to pop up and you have to do it. So do yourself a favor, turn it off early. That's the end of section 13. Section 14, attorney's files available for assembly review in the borough clerk's office. Section 15, executive session A, discussion of litigation tactics and strategies concerning filing a motion for attorney's fees and bill of costs in the litigation case Balboa v. Borough of Wrangell et al. Case number 1WR-19-8CI.
This is Assembly Member Decker pursuant to AS 44-62-310CD. I move that we go into executive session and invite the borough attorney, clerk, and manager to discuss litigation tactics and strategies concerning the City and Borough of Wrangell filing a motion for attorney's fees and bill costs in the Valvota case, a matter, quote, which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance is required to be confidential.
Thank you, Assembly Member Decker. Do we have a second?
Second.
Go ahead, Patty.
We'll have, was that, sorry, Assembly Member Gilbert then?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Assembly Member Gilbert. Any discussion? Okay, just as a notice to the, before I call for the vote, if it's voted up, we will be going into executive session. No action will be taken in the executive session. Please call the roll, please, Kim.
Assembly members Howe?
Yeah.
Yes. Decker? Decker?
Yeah.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. So we will adjourn, or sorry, recess at 7:22 p.m. into executive session, and we'll come out when we're done. And we have the confidential information has been sent to the assembly members. If you have any issues, please contact Kim. And with that, we will recess at 7:22.